Good morning. I wish to extend Christian greetings to all of you this morning. It's good to be here. It's a privilege to be here. It's a... you might say an enjoyable time of year. There's kind of the end of summer, and the building is fairly full. Quite a few visitors here. Welcome. I hope you can enjoy the service with us. I was impressed with the thoughts that Brother Steve just shared on listening. And largely because of, he didn't give his devotional a title, but I titled it. I called his devotional "Are You Listening?" Mostly because the first few words on my notes laying here in front of me are these words: "Are you learning?" And those two are very connected. You can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. My mind went to this over the last probably several weeks. There's a verse, 2 Timothy 3:7. It's a little short verse. It's kind of plugged in the middle of a nasty story, you might say. These words: ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that is a dismal picture. And I probably thought some about this with the time of year, the travel, the visitors, the last minute trips before school starts, back to school sales, this subject of learning kept recurring, kept coming back to me. And so this morning I'd like to take a little time and look at this. I'd like to look at how we learn, why we learn, what we learn, and reasons for learning. Kind of a sketch here of where I would like to take your minds this morning. So some questions about learning. You know, when I say that word, it's fairly broad. Is all learning good? Should you be learning? Is it good to learn just because it's there to learn about? Or another way of wording that is, are there things that should not be learned? What about higher learning, higher education? What about learning about the Most High? Well, that's a little bit of a play on words. But there was a man in Book of Daniel that needed to learn that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And then back to the verse that I gave you to introduce this: ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'd like to read this passage, 2 Timothy 3. Now the first part of it's a chapter of 17 verses. The first half, we'll get the context of this negative verse here. And in the latter part of the chapter, then there's some very positive learning, references to learning. Actually, the last couple of verses of 2 Timothy 2, there's a word there, unlearned questions. I was told to avoid those. Unlearned questions, avoid. Verse 25, this is instructions to a church leader here, I guess it was, in meekness, instructing. Now, instructing is the other side of learning. When there's someone learning, if there's a learner, there's often an instructor. Anyway, he goes on to this. Chapter 3, let's begin with verse 1. This know also, in other words, in addition to the other things I've been telling you here, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of thereof. From such, from that kind of people, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So he's referring to men who are, you might say, evil men. But these evil men, learning lots of things, possibly even educated men. I don't know exactly what all was referred to. Verse 10, he uses the word but. But he's going to change the subject here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. A sketch of men who were serving themselves, the warning that these type of men will be coming around, not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they're following their own desires, wishes, lusts. But verse 14, I go back to that. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So apparently this man, Timothy, he had apparently learned some things. Paul says here that they're things that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, salvation, the saving of one's life, that would be a worthwhile thing to learn. So just because it's learning does not necessarily mean it's good. So define this. Define learning just a little bit more. What does it mean to learn? Well, actually, learning as a noun is the act or the experience of one who learns. Or learning is also knowledge or skill acquired by instruction or study. So two basic ways for learning to take place: instruction or study. Now there's kind of a third one. There's also the school of hard knocks or experience. How we learn. Let's move on to that. The two basic realms: knowledge are facts. Knowledge is something you gain simply by picking up a book, picking up a passage, finding the information. 1 + 1 = 2. That is a fact. That is knowledge. That is something that you had to learn. It's not something that you were born knowing. And others in life help you. assist you in your gaining of knowledge. And in learning, knowledge is a good thing. You do need knowledge. What about this thing of instruction? Now, when we think of learning, when we think of a school doesn't go very far without a school teacher. There has to be someone to, you might say, hand out the knowledge. And so we call that the teacher. So kind of hand in hand with learning, we have this thing of teaching. Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9 says this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. There wasn't necessarily always a teacher involved, but the book of the law was brought up here. The instruction to meditate on it, to read it, to take that in, to think about it. That thou mayest observe to do. In other words, the learning, simply taking the facts in, simply assimilating the information wasn't, at that point, it's not, you might say it's learned on one level, but not acted upon. Deuteronomy 28:58-60 says this, if thou wilt not observe, this is kind of the flip side to that, observe to do it, and you'll have good success, is what I read in Joshua 1:8. Deuteronomy 28, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of. They shall cleave unto thee. A dismal picture, a warning. God telling these people, these Israelites, I've told you how. I've instructed you how. Observe it, do it, or there's a punishment. In your life, you take in information. You receive instruction. There's another way that we do some learning, and that is through observing. Through observation, we see things. We see things happen. We see what happens when someone else follows this trail. And there's some that's a good thing. We should pick up some things that way. We learn also through experience. And those things often, well, you might say they tend to be negative. They we call it learning something the hard way. And that is going into a situation, trying it, doing it anyway. I mean, your mind goes many different directions. We see that played out all the time. But God, in your Christian, as you think about learning, I guess, on one side we're learning physically. We're learning as people, walking and interacting with others. But we also have the spiritual man, the spiritual side. And so there as well we are learning. There are thumps. We learn there through experience as well. Thank God for grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God that we are not cut off because we didn't learn it the first time necessarily. And so when we find ourselves going through this thing and not learning the lesson, whose fault is it? Who is to blame? I call this the time delay learning. And as I was thinking about this, I'm going to give you a little bit of an example of somebody who learned something that he was supposed to be learning, but it took a bit of time. This took place long about the 1st of September in the year of 1979. It was the year I started school, first grade, in fact. And the school teacher happens to be sitting here, so she may even learn something about that year of school teaching. I don't know if she knows this or not, but that's beside the point. But I went to school that day, and we were first grade. This was lots of fun. And whether this was the first or the second day, I'm not sure, but it was the first math lesson. And I remember with a bit of shock and consternation, you know, get sat down, do our thing. Okay, pull out your math books. And these were the new Abeka, nice thick math books. And this teacher took a hold of the first page and tore it out of the book and laid it on my desk. Well, now that, my life up to that point, tearing a page out of a book was a crime. Now you're going to pay for that one. Okay. But it was laid on the desk in front of me. Okay, a place to write your name, so we'll work at that a while. And I'm gonna take you back through my thoughts. And it's humorous to me now. But so we had this page. And on this side of the page, there was a tree of some kind. It was green at the top, it had a brown trunk, and it had an orange ball laying here. For whatever reason. And there was a place down here to write some numbers. And on this side, there was this was the puzzling part to me. The teacher tore this out and laid it on my desk and then stood up there and talked Swahili for a while. She was talking, but I was trying to figure out what this thing over here was. And it was kind of a strange-looking creature, in my estimation. It was a man with a broken arm or something. That's what was there. And down here, there was these little, you know, a dotted circle. And after a while, I get told to do this. You're supposed to do this now. Well, okay, what? All right, I get it. We draw around these lines. Okay, make some more of them. And so I made some more of them. And I remember making the next one. I can do this. This guy's arms are really odd. And actually, he'd look better if he had a leg. And so I make a couple of them. No, no, no. The teacher comes back. And here, you got this wrong. Get rid of this thing. We got to the end of the day. It was fine. And it was probably 3 or 4 days later when the math lesson, the teacher that day chose not to speak Swahili. I actually talked a language I understood. And it was, you know, one apple on the tree. And they were apples or something, not orange balls by a random tree. One apple and two apples, three apples. That makes sense. And it was within the first week that my mind went back to the stupid stick figure on the first page. Now, what was wrong with the learning? Was there a problem with the instruction? Or was it the person that was trying to soak up the information, trying to teach something? Steve talked a little while ago about your spiritual ears. Your spiritual understanding, your hearing. And so for you young guys, when Steve stands up here in a members meeting and talks Swahili, he says something that actually seems to make no sense to you. That just, what is he saying? Just remember, it might not be a problem of the curriculum. It might not be a problem of the teacher. It might just simply be that the student had a bit of a time-delayed learning, is what I call that. So anyway, as you go through life, you're going to learn. And those processes aren't necessarily that easy. So moving on, why we learn? Why should you be learning? Why are we learning? Well, quite frankly, God made us with a desire to learn. If you go to Genesis, to the Garden of Eden, that initial temptation, the fruit, I think the fruit was pleasant, the fruit was desirable, but the real card that the devil played there to Eve was knowledge. Knowledge of good and evil. You can know. You can be the one in the know. The one who, well, you can be like God. I think that's what took them. Why? We are made in God's image. That is one of the reasons. That is one of the things that pushes us to learn. Another thing, we soon figure out that we'd rather avoid the school of hard knocks. We should learn. God's word instructs us also. There's a very familiar verse, 2 Peter 3:17. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. So grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's not a optional thing. That is something that we were instructed to do. And that is a lifelong project. You're not going to finish. You're not going to get done very soon in growing in your knowledge, especially when you move into the experimental knowledge, the experiencing of Jesus Christ. Another thing, I just want to bring this in as well. I'm not sure whether this belongs in why we learn or how we learn. Maybe it's more part of how. From birth until you are, let's say, 14, 16, 18, somewhere in that age group, you spend most of your time learning how to learn. That is what a lot of our, you know, the first eight grades of school are largely learning how to learn. And this is in the academics. The next point I'm trying to get to is what we learn. But why and how? We're learning how to do that. How to take in knowledge. How to research. How to analyze. How to look at a problem and figure out or come up with the correct answer. Which brings me to this thought or this point. In this realm, in this thing of learning, in this thing of schooling, I asked the question earlier about higher education or higher learning. What about going to college? Why should or should you not go to college? Is that a fair question? Now, I think it is. That is something that is in this learn in our culture, the country we live in, the people we associate with in the world, view it as a necessary thing, something you should be doing. But in this thing of how we learn, so you spend the first 14, 16, 18 years of your life learning how to learn. Somewhere in this transition between, somewhere in high school, is where people are no longer learning how to learn, but are learning and studying specific things, specific subjects, specific ideas, specific concepts. The danger, I'll just bounce this out here for those of you young guys who may wonder about this. What's the danger of college? Well, the danger that I see there is that at that point in a person's life, we're no longer learning how to learn. We're actually trying to learn something. And now if you want to go to college and learn how to diagnose, you know, I'm glad someone went to college and learned how to make a pair of glasses. Otherwise, I don't see very well. And so I recognize that. College, higher learning as a means to an end, it's not a problem. The danger lies here, as I see it. And that is for you to go and put money on the table, for you to go and pay a lot of money. It's either going to represent your debt or your father's money, probably. But you're going to pay someone to teach you. When you pay someone to teach you, you probably will sit up and do quite a bit of listening. You will be predisposed to buy it. And at that point, we've moved into what I call kind of a dangerous realm. Why? The human reasoning. The higher education communities are very anti-God. They've made animals, they've made society, they've made their pet project their God. The God of heaven, they'd rather not talk about. Learning for the sake of learning. Learning just to be in the know. That is dangerous. What we learn. Well, jumping back to an infant, jumping back to a baby. What does this baby learn? Year 1. Year 5. Year 15. The reality is we learn many things over the course of our lives. Academics, facts, figures, how to learn. That is one thing that we learn. Understand this also. Remember this, that in all of these aspects of learning, God has things He wants to teach you. He wants you to learn. He wants you to live and act in a certain way. That's why we're going through Matthew 5, 6 and 7. It's practical. Another thing we learn growing up, we learn to deal with people. How to work with people. How to deal with, you might say, how to get along with people. How to get along with ourselves. We learn about our emotions, what they are. We have emotions. We're happy, we're sad, we're various things. We have to deal with that. We deal with our fears, what ifs. And probably one of the most important things that we learn, and that's what parents teach their children. That's what church leaders try to teach people as well, is how to discern what to believe and what not to believe. As you go through life, you're continuously faced with someone reeling off a line, giving you a statement. Well, this is how it is, and you have to decide. You have to make it. You're continuously making these judgment calls. That's correct. That's incorrect. That's truth. That's error. But that is something that we learn. We learn about spiritual things. We learn about our own spirituality. So what about your spirit? What do you know about spirituality? If you think you know nothing, let's say you're 13 years old here and you think you know nothing about spirituality, think about the 2-year-old. Well, yeah, you know more than that than they do. Man became a living soul. That's a verse taken out of Genesis. You have a soul that will live forever. Those are things you learn. You learn at some point that I am accountable before God. Think Cain and Abel. Cain thought he could just have a skirmish with his brother. The argument the fight. He rose up against him. He killed him, and at that point learned that he was accountable before God. God spoke to him. What have you done? Your brother's blood is crying from the ground. Cain learned that God is in control around here. Saul, on the road to Damascus, a light shines, he falls down, he learns that God is in control. God is in charge around here. And the sooner you and I learn that, the better. Second Corinthians 5:10. Here's another thing that you learn. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Christ will be your judge. We also learn about the spiritual condition of other people around us. That's more of an informational thing. But as your spiritual learning increases, you become more attuned to the spiritual conditions and the needs of other people. Just because you can identify a spiritual need in someone else, that doesn't make them bad. That doesn't make you good. That just simply means that you can see that. So the reasons. So why? Why has God set it up this way that you can live? You can learn. Well, I got a couple of things, and some of these are kind of review or going back over something. The reason for you to learn, the reason for you to develop beyond infancy, beyond childhood, is to be of glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are also another reason for you to learn. You are to learn things, to become useful for the glory of God, but the glory of God often comes through being of service to man. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Finally, while learning, while knowing, while it's an interesting thing when in this subject of learning, if your learning doesn't make you of service to man, then what good is it? That's kind of a question to ask or a question to ponder. If you're going through experiences in life, if you're going through the big thick science book at school, at whatever point you are learning, if that is just simply for you, for your benefit, it is hollow. It is an empty thing. But if you can learn for the glory of God, that is better. That is, if you can use what you've learned to glorify God and to serve man, it's much better. And that is what is very interesting about this subject of learning. There's something I've noticed, something I've observed, and I don't quite know how to place it in my mind. But you might say it this way: birds of a feather flock together, or something of that. A cliche like that would work. Over the course of my life, I've gone to various, you might say, large gatherings, trade shows. I was just thinking about it recently. I've been several times to a World of Concrete show, which is the trade show for concrete workers. And when you're there, there's a certain aura, there's a certain feeling. It's a certain type of people there. They're interested in the same thing, the equipment, the techniques, the training, the all of that. I was recently, a year ago, went to a poultry federation. Everybody there wanted to talk about the raising of chickens, and it was different there. There was an aura there, but in all of these things, it seemed like I was at a third one time. Oh, Christian Retail Christian Book Association. I was also at that show one time. And in all of those, there's a certain feeling, or there's a certain... It's a different feeling. It's a group of people that are excited about and into what they're doing. It's the most important thing in their world, and it's the most important thing in their life. The Western Fellowship Teachers Institute, a little bit the same thing. It's a group. There comes to be a spirit. There comes to be... I want to say in all of those trade shows, there's a culture, there's an aura, a smell, something comes out of them. As I look at those things and think about people getting together, getting excited about what they're excited about, the reality is that, okay, it's nice if somebody pours concrete, it's nice if somebody raises chickens, it's nice if somebody sells books, whatever. But those things we can all take or leave. You move over onto this learning/teaching side of it, and all of a sudden there's a spiritual implication. Why? Because you do need to learn. Why? Because everybody needs to be involved in learning. Learning to be able to read the Bible. Learning to be able to serve God. Learning to be able to serve man. Yet there's a danger bundled right in that. And that danger is when learning becomes an end in itself. There's a very real danger there. The danger, it can quickly head down the trail to the higher learning, the world's version of learning, and what learning is good for. Another reason for learning, got to be wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 is where that I read that. That's where we started. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You will need to learn to do that. And also to grow. To grow in the knowledge. And I grow in grace and in the knowledge. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. How does that happen? You'll need to, as you grow in the knowledge of Christ, you will need to be putting into practice these other areas and aspects of learning. I read a quote, it kind of goes without saying it. To grow in the knowledge of Christ, you're going to have to know Him. It'll be two ways. It'll be your walk with Him. It will be your reading of His Word. I read this quote. If a Christian is careless in Bible reading, he will also be careless in Christian living. Somebody kind of stating the obvious, yet it makes me stop and think. In closing here, words of Christ. Matthew 11. This is Christ talking, giving direct instructions to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There we have it. The yoke and learning. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, I hope this can challenge you. I hope as you face life with its questions and challenges and your learning, you'll be able to follow God. Let's have a closing song. Thank you.
church hymnal number 244.